Psalm 69. Now this is about a crisis in the life of David, probably when Absalom rebelled against him, but it's also easy to understand as looking ahead to the sufferings of Jesus on the cross. Save me, O God, for the waters have come in to my soul. I'm sinking in deep mud where there's no place to stand up. I've come into deep waters where the floods are overflowing me. I'm weary of crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. That's just how Jesus was. I thirst, he said when he was on the cross. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I did not take away. Well, I think that David was suffering at the hands of Absalom because of his sin with Bathsheba, and he was supposed to die because of what he did in getting Uriah killed and getting other men of Israel killed to try to cover it up. And Nathan had said to him, well, okay, you won't die, but you're going to suffer terribly from your own family. And now it was happening. He seems to have forgotten about that. And he's complaining that it's all unfair and I did nothing wrong and all that. And so it can be that we sin and we realize very deeply that we did wrong, but then we don't stay humble. We start to look back at it and we even forget it. We think that, well, it wasn't really that bad, or it was my fault, it was her fault or their fault or whatever. This is the trouble. But then he goes on, O God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hid from you. Don't let those who wait upon you, O Lord God, be ashamed for my sake. Well, yeah, God had said to him when he sinned with Bathsheba and got Uriah killed, he did say that, well, you've caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You've given them the reason to do so. But he says, let not those that seek you be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Well, yeah, but he's not facing the fact that sin has consequences. And we can all be the same. For your sake I've borne reproach, and shame has covered my face. I'm become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Think how the brothers of Jesus didn't believe in him and mocked him. For the zeal of your house has eaten me up. Well, that's quoted directly about Jesus when he drives the traders out of the temple, and the reproaches of those who reproached you have fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul by fasting, even that was counted to my reproach. I made sackcloth my garment, and I became a proverb to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. Well, he's talking about how bad drunk people are, singing rude songs about me. Well, David did try to get Uriah drunk, if you remember, and he tried to get Uriah drunk to make Uriah go and sleep with his wife so it would look like it was his baby and all that sort of thing. So it's sort of not surprising that it's all coming back on David, but he does seem to resent it because he, like us often, forgets that sin has consequences. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me. In the truth of your salvation, deliver me out of the mud and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Don't let the flood of waters overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. You wonder whether Jonah prayed these words when he was in the water. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. O God is very tender in the end and very sensitive to us. Don't hide your face from your servant. I'm in trouble. Hear me quickly. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You have known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My enemies are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart. So again we see the power of words, that the things they said to him broke his heart. And again we see how in the Psalms words are likened to swords and spears and arrows. You've got to be so careful with your words because you can break the hearts of people. I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They gave me gall for my meat. And when I was thirsty, they gave me vinegar to drink. That's exactly what happened when Jesus was on the cross. "I thirst," he said, and they put vinegar on a hyssop stalk and lifted it up to him. "Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so they can't see, and make their bodies to shake all the time. Pour out your anger on them. Let your anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let someone else live in their tents." Well, that's quoted about Judas. So you can see how all this is relevant to both David and to Jesus. "For they persecute him whom you have smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom you have wounded." So again, by talking, you can bring grief to other people. You can really hurt people by your words. "Add iniquity to their iniquity. Don't let them come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous." So it does seem that there is a book of life, and our names are put in the book. This is, as it were, the scroll or the list of those who will be in God's kingdom. But your name can be taken out of that book. And how terrible is that, that somebody was planned to be in the kingdom, he was on the list, but his name was taken away. And this is the tragedy when somebody loses their faith. It's why we must do all we can to win people back who lose their faith, and to realize that as long as we're mortal, as long as we're in this flesh, we have the possibility of losing the kingdom. And we've got to realize that in front of us are the ultimate serious issues. And we live in a world that's very light-hearted, that's all just hee hee ha ha, and it's not facing up to the seriousness of the issues before us. Eternal life or eternal death. "I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And this will please the Lord more than offering an ox or a bullock. The humble will see this and be glad, and your heart will live that seek God. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in it. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed of his servants will inherit it, and those that love his name will live there." So this last bit is very relevant to the exiles in Babylon. And you see how people used the Psalms. This was a Psalm of David, but it also applies to Jesus. And under inspiration, it was obviously applied also to them when they were exiles in Babylon, that although everything seemed awful, one day it would be better. And Zion and the cities of Judah would be rebuilt and they would live there. And in the end, this is how we can read the Psalms, that it does apply to me. And in the end, it will all come gloriously true for all of us when Jesus returns and the kingdom is established.